Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unbridled. I'm your host, Kim Ullman. This is the My View Matters Radio Network, and the music doesn't want to turn down tonight for no apparent reason. I don't know why it does that sometimes, but whatever. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Liberty Unbridled, My View Matters Radio Network. Yeah, my name is Kim Ullman. We're here every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time to bring you the issues of the day. And, of course, the biggest issue looming right now is Obamacare, because it officially kicks in here October 1st. We get to see our first rates. I mean, it's actually kicked in already. There's things that have already changed. But this is when the majority of the public will get to actually see, will Obamacare be better or worse? And this is the beginning of that. And I think that's going to be quite interesting to see, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, before we get started, I should mention, if you'd like to call in tonight, you can do so by calling area code 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. And the chat room is open if you'd like to chat in there. I usually check that during the break. And, you know, we appreciate those that listen to us on podcast. But if you listen to us live, we really do encourage you to call in and talk to us about different issues. And if you have questions, ask them, because personally, anyway, I'm better at doing Q&A and answering questions and issues rather than just kind of spouting off anyway. I prefer to actually have a conversation. But anyway, to get things started tonight, we have the political rhetoric generator, as we usually do. And this week's bit of randomly generated political rhetoric is, unlike myself, my opponent wants an America where angry chefs and drug companies can sabotage our free markets. Always enjoy the political rhetoric generator. Well, I think we've talked about this, and you know, in general, and I'm going to hold off Obamacare here for a little bit because there's a few other things I want to get to first. And I mean, we could talk Obamacare all week, but the interesting things that are occurring. First of all, we have a new poll out from Gallup that shows that the majority of Americans do believe that government is too large, it's too big. And this came out September 23rd, so of course it came out the day after the last show, because everything seems to come out on Mondays now instead of over the weekend. It used to be everything came out on Saturday or Sunday and it would get buried, but now everything comes out on Monday. So anyhow, this is interesting. The Americans' perception of governmental power, and it shows this over time, starting sometime before 2003, sometime in 2002, they asked the question, do you think the federal government today has too much power, has about the right amount of power, or has too little power? And they ask each of those rotated, right, so that there's no bias towards the first answer or the last answer or any of that stuff. If you know about market research, that's one of the things you have to do. Anyhow, the point is that it's done properly. They did not really give what the margin of error was in each of these, but assume that it's the typical 4%. What they found is that for the past decade, the number of people or percentage of people that believe that the government is too powerful is at a record level. We're now at a point where 60% of Republicans believe that government has too much power, that, or I'm sorry, that's 60% of Americans, excuse me, 60% of Americans believe that the government has too much power, 32% of Americans believe it's just about right, and only about 7% of Americans believe that it's too small. And over time, if you look at this, over time, there's only about between 6 and 8%, and you would average it out probably to 8%, or excuse me, 7% of the time, that there's 7% of the population at any time believes the government isn't powerful enough. What really changes are the people that believe it's right, you know, about the right amount, versus too large. And that number has been diverging since sometime late last year, when at the time it was 51% believed that the government was too large, 40% believed that it was about right, and 8% believed that it was too small. broken down by political party, and that's the one I thought I was looking at here first, broken down by political party, 81% of Republicans believe today the government has too much power. 65% of independents believe the government has too much power. And even 38% of Democrats believe the government has too much power. What's interesting about this is looking at through the years, right? You've got from 2003 to 2013, when Republicans were in control, the beginning of this is mid-2002, through the end of 2008, the Democrats believed that government had too much power. A larger majority or a larger percentage of them believed that. So that peaked out at about 58% in mid-2006. That was the year that, 57%, and that was the year that the Republicans got wiped out of Congress. And that same time, too much power percentage by independents at that time was 58%, continued to grow to 62%. After Obama was elected, everything kind of switched. So Republicans, while Bush and Republicans were in power, didn't think government had enough power. And it started trending up in 2006 as the Democrats started trending down. And as Republicans began to say that there was too much power, and Democrats were switching from saying there was too much power to saying there was not enough, which is what they were saying by the election in 2008, independents, they did see a bit of a drop from 2007 to the election in 2008, but not a significant one. It went to 55% from 62%, so it was a 7% drop. It's just, to me, it's kind of disheartening to see this gap that occurs because of who's in power. And that's disturbing to me, that you're not consistent here, I guess, is my point. You have Democrats that say the government doesn't have enough power when their people are in charge, but they say there's too much power when somebody else is. And that makes up about 20% of Democrats, 20 to 30%, depending on the period. There's a 32% spread at the maximum. And meanwhile, Republicans, same deal, depending on who's in charge. The difference between Republicans, when Republicans are in charge versus Democrats, is staggering. It's a 46% difference between when there's a Republican in power and a Democrat in power. And that's ridiculous. 46% of Republicans say, power's okay. Essentially what they're saying is power's okay as long as it's in the hands of our guys. And I find that to be a problem. I mean, really? You think that that's okay? You think that it's okay to be doing that stuff? Really? Okay. Sure. I just clicked the wrong thing. There we go. Sorry. One of those things I'm trying to – I apologize, folks. I'm running one monitor tonight, and I'm running remotely. So I just got back. I just got back from Frankfurt, and Frankfurt, not Kentucky, but Frankfurt, Indiana. For those that don't know, Frankfort, Indiana, I didn't know until today, is a far northern suburb of Indianapolis. And so I did not have a lot of time to prep today. I apologize. It's just things are a little out of order here, so I'm a little bit slow getting to everything. But getting back to the point here, I think it's disheartening. The only thing that's really heartening to me is that the independents, the folks in the middle, tend to stay about the same. They're staying in a range of 45 to 65%. That 65 is a peak for them. It'll be interesting to see if that continues to go up, because 65% of independents saying that there's too much power has some pretty significant implications. Namely, when it comes to elections in 2014, if the independents are saying that there's too much power in government, then that suggests that they're willing to make a switch, they're willing to make a change. And I don't think that 2008 is too far behind when they remember when Bush was in charge and there was, you know, 62% of independents were saying there's too much power. I would guess that much, if not all, of the same 62% that thought there was too much power in 2007 are pretty much the same folks that believe there's too much power in 2013, or at least I'd like to hope so. I'd like to hope that there's not just this 20% that's consistent and everybody else is insane. I guess the point is that, as we've talked about on the show, as I've given speeches, I've talked to different groups, liberty is winning. And the more that liberty is winning, the more that we see government starting to push back. And it's interesting, the Obamacare fight, for instance, has been moved to a fight that is over shutting down the government rather than not fund Obamacare. And I think that's interesting because, and we'll get into this in a bit, but Obamacare has never been popularly supported since it passed. And Democrats are hanging themselves on it. And I think that for the purposes of protecting Obama, who is a lame duck incumbent, I think you're going to see a number of Democratic congresspersons basically, literally, politically anyway, fall on the sword for Obamacare. And based on what I see coming, it's not going to work right. It's going to have some serious glitches, and Democrats could take a serious beating over this. Anyone who's on the bandwagon of trying to protect this and rah-rah it, you're not going to do well. And, you know, we had this week Governor Beshear come out and put an op-ed in the, I think it was the New York Times, and I didn't grab a copy of that. I didn't have time before the show to get that, defending Obamacare. And I think that's a huge mistake because, you know, 2015 is not that far away either. And he's going to be putting a lot of Democrats in a tough spot. And that does open the door for Republicans to definitely take over the state house, but perhaps more interestingly, actually take over the executive branch. Now, 2 years is a long time. 2 years is a long time in the minds of voters. Voters typically don't have the, I don't know what the right word is, but they don't look back that far, typically speaking. They only seem to care about what's happening at the moment, in general anyway. But I guess the point is that the Democrats are going to hang themselves on Obamacare because I don't know why. I really think that this is a huge mistake. I think that they're going to see massive losses, and I think they're going to see massive losses here in Kentucky especially because Kentucky still is the only state in the House, the only state in the South that still has any legislative chamber that has Democratic control is Kentucky, and that's in our House. All the other legislatures in the South have been taken over by the Republicans. So when your de facto leader of your party, which is Steve Beshear, runs around and not only cheerleads Obamacare, but also puts an op-ed in the New York Times and all this, I mean, he's really going to be putting Democrats as a party in a bind. And that's on top of things that are other things that are happening. I'm sure, well, maybe not. I've been following this sexual harassment scandal down in Frankfurt. One of the legislators, and it's an LRC, which is the group that does a lot of the legwork for the legislators, and transferring people around. And Greg Stumbo, the Speaker of the House, is involved because he was apparently involved in moving this particular person who was the victim of sexual harassment to the state Senate offices under Republicans. And, you know, it kind of smells of cover-up, and there were documents shredded. And, I mean, that's not good. for Democrats. And of course, you have Conway coming out here this past week talking about how industrial hemp is still illegal, despite the fact, and it's so funny, the article in the paper, I about blew my head off. I couldn't take it. It was so frustrating. Conway says, well, you know, nothing's changed, and until the feds do change something, then we're not going to have industrial hemp legalized. And then two paragraphs later in the story, it goes on to explain the policy change by the federal government to no longer go after people who legalize marijuana, so long as there is a statutory, regulatory mechanism that keeps intoxicating materials out of the hands of children. And I it's like, but don't you see? It changed, dude. It already changed. The feds said they're not going to do anything about it. And yeah, you know what? There are laws still on the books. You are absolutely correct. The laws are still on the books. Just like in this state, there are plenty of laws on the books that are either not enforced or completely unenforceable, whether because it's impractical to enforce them or because they're actually unconstitutional. There's plenty of laws on the books. And yeah, I'd love to see a bunch of those laws just purged off. All those ding-dong laws that don't apply to squat anymore, I would love to see those gone. It would clean the law up a good bit. I mean, while we're at it, let's throw out some of the stuff that just doesn't work. It's still enforced but doesn't do anything. Doesn't have any value to society. Let's throw all that out. Great. But until we're ready to do that, dude, they've already said they're not going to prosecute. They're not going to go after anybody as long as there's a regulatory mechanism in place that specifically keeps intoxicants out of the hands of children. We have that. Industrial hemp does contain trace amounts of THC, the intoxicating chemical that is found in much higher quantities than marijuana. But industrial hemp, because of its chemical makeup, because of its percentages of different chemicals inside of it, in order to try to even get enough THC out of hemp, it just won't work. It chemically cannot occur. And so we, by making hemp legal but keeping marijuana illegal, and setting up a regulatory system by which hemp can be grown and inspected to make sure that it's not marijuana, that it is hemp, we've done that. We've done what the feds have asked. We've complied with what they've said. And Agriculture Commissioner Jamie Comer is exactly correct. We should begin growing hemp next year. I mean, for that matter, it should have never been illegal to begin with. But based on what the federal government has said, based on what Kentucky has passed, we should be growing it next year. And we've talked about hemp on the show before. It's not going to be a magic bullet. It's not going to save Kentucky's economy. But you know what? It might save some family farms. It might help some folks. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's very, very popular. And getting back to the point of this, hemp is extraordinarily popular with the public, polling as high as 70% in some polls, while medical marijuana is still in the low to mid-50s, and complete legalization is still in the 40s. I think it's actually 40 exactly percent support. Industrial hemp enjoys somewhere between 65 and 70% support across the state. And so we have Stumbo, I'm sorry, let's rewind to the beginning. We have Beshear touting Obamacare, which is extraordinarily unpopular in the state. You have Stumbo involved in this thing down with the LRC and the cover-up and sexual harassment and all that. And you have Conway coming out against hemp. He's trying to play the issue, but basically What he's really doing is he's playing politics so Comer can't get political victory out of him. That's the real thing. And the people who suffer are us, the people. Let's not kid anybody. That's what's really going on. So you've got three top Democrats in the state doing completely asinine things. That is not good for the Democratic Party. Not at all. The real question is, will Republicans be smart enough to seize on it? Anybody who knows me knows that one of my favorite sayings is the Republicans are their own worst enemy, or Republicans snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Because typically speaking, the Republican Party is not very intelligent about taking advantage of situations like this. I think individual campaigns maybe. I think if I'm Matt Bevin or Mitch McConnell or David Patterson, I'm going to put something out about how the Democrats don't represent Kentucky anymore. And in many ways they don't, sadly. But that's, excuse me, I'm still sick, folks, so I apologize. But that's where I go with it. I mean, why not? They walked it down to the plate, they set it on the tee, and they gave me a bat. Dude, I'm going to hit a homer. I'm going to hit it right out of the park. There's only a few more things you could do that are more blatantly in your face to Kentucky citizens than what's happened in the past week. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So anyway, I didn't mean to quite get on such a big rant about that, but it's amazing to me that I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the political ramifications of all of it. Will the Democratic Party take a beating over all this? I don't know. Will the public stand up and say we're not going to take this? I don't know. They should. They might. I don't know. So that's all coming. We'll see. So switching topics here, I kept seeing this meme on Facebook about thank you, certain states for requiring drug tests for welfare recipients. And I had heard something about this a few years ago, but I got to thinking, boy, I don't think that actually passed here. And so I did some research to kind of dig up what the heck is going on here, because as much as I'm against welfare and as much as I'm against paying people to sit on their butt and do drugs, at the same time, I do have a bit of a problem with forced testing. Because once they force some people, they'll inevitably start to test everybody. And, and everybody in my audience knows, or should know by now, that I don't do anything illegal. Never have. Well, yeah. Based on age and whether or not I should have been allowed to buy it, that's a different story. But they were all substances that were generally available to adults, whether or not I was an adult at the time. The point being that I'm not worried about getting busted. I'm just worried about the infringement on my rights. And I get the point. But it speaks to a broader problem. And let me first just say this. Let me rewind and explain that, no, we do not do random drug screening for welfare recipients. And, in fact, as far as I can tell, no one is screened for drug use as a prerequisite to obtaining or keeping welfare. So there was a bill proposed. It was in the Senate, and it was proposed by Lonnie Napier. He said that his goal was not to kick people off of welfare, but to get people, you know, try to get them off drugs. Now, based on what I know about addiction, anyway, addiction usually has some other issues behind it. And whether or not welfare checks are coming in doesn't solve those issues, right? That's not going to be... I always like to say, no one, when they're 5 years old, no one says, I want to be a junkie when I grow up. No one says that. So there's something else wrong. And whether or not you get welfare, certainly making people more uncomfortable helps them reach their bottom faster if they have a problem and may cause them to seek help, or it just may push them out into the streets. Could be. But the point is, we do not have a law that requires welfare recipients to be screened for drug use. And while many of my conservative friends may want that, I caution you that if you give the power to government to randomly screen welfare recipients, don't forget that though we do not ask for them, there are many things that we receive through government. Or though perhaps we would prefer them to come in other ways, say through the free market, they come currently through the state, and the state has monopoly control of those things. So just remember that if we set up a situation where certain citizens can have their privacy invaded to get something from government, that we're setting up a precedent that other people can have their privacy invaded to get something else from government. So be very careful. And that's one of the things we need to be very, very careful about, these types of policies and programs when we push them. And you need to think them all the way through and think about the negative, possible negative ramifications. Even though they may seem far-fetched, even though they may seem crazy, and you have to consider them at a philosophical level because, again, you know, once you open that door, it's very hard to close it again. I've talked to many people this week, different Facebook discussions, and one of the things that came up, of course, is that Northern Kentucky Health Department is now pushing for a statewide smoking ban because they can't get one here because there's no support for one here. We ran those people out of here because they can go on back to Lexington where they came from and stay there. But the point is, a smoking ban, while smoking is not a popular activity, first of all, it's not needed. And I haven't done the math lately. I have no idea where we're at now. But from a percentage standpoint, I mean, years ago, 2009, 2010, I think it was 2009, we found that any cuisine available in any of the top three counties, Campbell, Kenton, and Boone, any of those three counties, any cuisine that was available in a non-smoking venue. The inverse was not true. There was not a smoking venue for every cuisine, right? We also found that 70% of restaurants were already smoke-free by choice. And we do qualify restaurants because bars, of course, there's a whole bunch of science behind why people drink and smoke. And there are smoke-free bars in each county now. And I encourage people to use those because, as one who believes in the free market, I want people who don't want to be around smoke and want to go out for a drink to go where they're comfortable and reward those business owners who are taking the risk to put something out there that you might want. Do it. Please do it. That's a good thing. That's a free market at work. That's how problems get solved in a liberty way. We don't go to the state and say, we need a law, oh, woe is me. I don't like what they're doing, and I want you to make a law to make them stop, even though I don't have to see it and don't have to be part of it if I don't want to be. I just don't like that somebody's doing something I don't like. That's not the liberty angle. The liberty angle is, hey, you know what? You don't like what's going on? That's cool. Go somewhere else. Oh, look, over here. I say you don't like smoke. Hey, look, there's a bar over here. We can get our drink on over here. Smoke free. Excellent. patronize that place. Reward them. Reward them for giving you what you want. That's how it's supposed to work. All right, I'm over my time. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back here in a few minutes. since it is Obamacare weekend, before we begin this here, I got a special song for us tonight. And folks, we'll be back here. Just hang on a few minutes. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network. Be right back.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, and we're back. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network. It's Sunday night, and we've got more to go. So, something of interest that I meant to bring up earlier in the show, just kind of on the lighter side, if you want to participate in a study, you can get $18,000 to stay in bed for 70 straight days. You're going to be on a special tilted bed, and essentially it's a NASA study to study the effect of atrophy on muscles. It's $1,200 per week, which is pretty decent money. And obviously you're trading your health for that. And they've run the study before, and it's available now. If you go out and search, I'm sure if you look for NASA study, $18,000, you can find the information again. It's out there. But I thought that was kind of interesting. If you want to make $18,000 by doing absolutely nothing, literally, absolutely nothing, just staying in bed, there's an option for you. Excuse me just a moment. I'm still sick, folks. Sorry. Let's see here. What else do we have? There was an article that was going back around this week on the internet about 15 differences between Democrats and Republicans. And it's laid out from a Democratic perspective. So, of course, it's mostly that Democrats are awesome and Republicans are retarded, and that's kind of how they lay this out. But the funny thing is almost all of these are absolutely refutable. You know, things like Republicans fear the government has too much control over corporations. Democrats fear that corporations have too much control over our government. And, of course, the easy answer is, and both of them are funded by corporations who want control of our government. I mean, come on now. Can you really make it any easier for me to refute these things than that? I mean, and we don't want to go over all these tonight. It just, they're getting desperate, folks. Democrats, Republicans, both. They're getting desperate to separate themselves. And, of course, there are exceptions in both parties. And I don't mean to just besmirch those people, the ones that actually are the, I will say, good guys, if you will, in the Republican and Democratic parties. But the party establishment, the establishment of each party is getting desperate because, just like with Obamacare, I can't believe the Democrats are really, really pushing this as hard as they can when support is still not ever been over 50% of Americans, ever. I mean, but they're going to push forward, and that's the funny thing is that the more that the establishment loses control, the more that they're just digging their heels in. You're going to take this whether you like it or not because we know what's best. And I don't know why you guys are pushing back now because we've been cramming this down your throat for years. And you never said anything before, but now you're all angry. And we don't understand, and we just don't care. We're just going to cram it down anyway because you're an idiot. And that's pretty much the way they look at it. I mean, I talk to these establishment folks. They don't understand why groups like the Tea Party or why groups like Occupy exist. They don't get it. They don't know. They don't understand that their policies, the things that they have been cramming down our throats for decades, have come back and proven themselves to not help people. But they do cost a lot of money, and they cost a lot of opportunity, in economic terms, opportunity cost. They have high opportunity costs, where things that could have happened don't happen because of those laws. And we'll see that with Obamacare, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it's funny, they just don't get it. They don't understand. I think in part it's driven by ego, maybe. I don't know. I mean, for people that are supposed to listen to the elected or to the electorate, it's very interesting. A poll came out, another poll, showing the approval rankings of different leaders. So House Speaker John Boehner, 48% of Republicans approve of House Speaker John Boehner, 44% disapprove. That's pretty significant. Hang on just another second, folks. Sorry, I'm still getting over this cold allergy thing. I don't mean to make you guys listen to all my coughing. I just muted there. Anyhow, of independents, 36% are favorable on Boehner. 55% are against him. And of Democrats, 33% approve of Boehner and 60% are against him. So basically the only place where House Speaker John Boehner has any positive rating is with the Republicans, and really it's only a plus four. So only there's 48% of Republicans that like John Boehner, but that's compared to 44% that don't. Now we go to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, where 26% of Republicans approve of him, and 62% disapprove. 30% of independents approve of Harry Reid, and 57% disapprove of Harry Reid. And of Democrats, 47% approve of Harry Reid, 40% disapprove. So once again, we see that the only people that like Harry Reid are Democrats, and even then, it's only a plus seven. He's not even above 50%, just like Boehner was with the Republicans. Reid isn't even above 50% in his own party. We go to Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, 33% of Republicans approve of Mitch McConnell, 47% disapprove. Now, that's pretty strong, because he's negative 14 even with his own base. That's bad. Meanwhile, independents, 33% approve, 48% disapprove. And of Democrats, 41% approve and 48% disapprove, which I find interesting. That means that a higher percentage of Democrats approve of Mitch McConnell than Republicans and independents. And across the board, 48% of people seem to just disapprove of Mitch McConnell. Now, this is nationwide, folks. This is not just in Kentucky. You need to see Kentucky numbers to know what's going on. I'd love to see those numbers. We don't have them. And then we have Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Only 12% of Republicans approve of Nancy Pelosi, and 83% disapprove. There's 5% still missing there, and I don't know how you don't know, but whatever. And then of independents, 33% approve, 54% disapprove. And of Democrats, 65% approve, and only 24% disapprove. So Nancy Pelosi, of people who are speaking to her base anyway, she's the best. She's got a plus 41 with Democrats. Now, what I find interesting, though, and she obviously has the worst amongst Republicans at, negative 71. But what I think is interesting about this is that for all four of these folks, 30-something percent of the public of independents, 30-something percent of independents approve of each of these people, and between 48 and 57% disapprove. So you're talking over half, on average, disapprove of all four of these folks. All four of these folks over half of independents disapprove of the people in charge of our legislature, national legislature, that is. And I think that that speaks powerfully, powerfully to what's going on in the country, the mood out there, that people are really upset and they want answers. And I keep telling people this, and I've been on this on the show before. People are so tired of negative campaigning. They're tired of excuses. They're tired of, well, I'm bad, but this person's worse, so, oh, you got to vote for me. They're sick of that. Sick of it. And the best place to see that is in the independents, because independents, you know, Republicans are, oh, yeah, okay, well, Republican must be good because they're a Republican. Oh, Democrat must be bad because they're a Democrat. And on the Democratic side, you have the same thing. Oh, well, Democrats have to be good and Republicans have to be bad. So that skews their numbers. But independents don't have that allegiance. And so I think we get real numbers on how these guys are really doing nationally out of the independents. And for all four of them, they fail. All four of them receive a failing grade. 36%, 30%, 33%, 33%. That's failing. And significantly failing. It's a big deal. Things are about to change. Things are already changing. And they're changing drastically. The mood of the public has changed drastically. Oh, my gosh, time is running out so fast. It always does at the end of the show. one of the things I've been trying to get to for a few weeks is the global warming stuff that's been out there about how the computer models, all these models that came out and showed that, you know, the world would end and that we'd have no food and that the polar ice caps would melt and the sea, the outer lying areas of our countries would all be underwater and flooded because all the ice melted and all that. And what they've actually come to see is that, for the most part, those models were all wrong. That over the past 30 years, our average temperature has grown less than a half of a degree. And it's important to note this because, you know, a lot of policies are put in place supposedly to curb global warming. And some of these policies are very freedom-robbing policies. Now, certainly, I want to emphasize, I am not for pollution. I think that pollution is a crime against others and one that should be adjudicated in court. If you're doing damage to people, and one of those ways you can damage me is to, you know, force me to consume pollution, then I should have the standing to go sue you for doing harm to me. I agree with that. I don't want pollution, but I also don't want a government that takes away all of my options and regulates the crap out of me for a theory, for a hunch. That's one of the other things. I mean, we're seeing all this kind of come together. Government doesn't know better. That's really the key. Government has its own view of the world. People in government, in the bureaucracy, in the regulatory agencies, in elected officials, they are not normal people. They're not normal people. Now, if you're one of those folks, I'm sorry, you're not normal. That's okay. But what you have to recognize is that people who aren't normal are not going to immediately understand what normal people are thinking and feeling and doing and need and want. I mean, that's kind of what gets to this Obamacare thing. I'm going to wrap up with this because I've got probably 10 minutes worth of stuff and we've got about 9 minutes left. So I wrote an article about the problems with Obamacare. And there are so many problems with Obamacare. The way it was done, the way it's being done, why? I mean, the bill was rammed through. The Democrats jammed it through, didn't let any Republicans modify it, tweak it, do anything to it. Now, normally, if it had been debated, there would have been some problems identified and resolved. But because it was rammed through, that didn't happen. Now, typically when legislation gets put through, again, because not all scenarios are thought of or accounted for, even if they're very obvious ones, there's amendments made to those laws to fix those things, to tweak them, to repair that, whoops, we didn't think about that. But because the bill was run over, I mean, the Democrats ran over the Republicans who didn't want it, have been hesitant to try to even fix it, to allow fixes to come through. And, of course, obviously, we know now the Republicans are, at least some of them, are trying to just outright defund Obamacare completely, to stop its implementation. And so much so, I mean, it's all coming to a head this week. We'll see what happens. But there are things like there are problems like what they call the family glitch, where there's different thresholds. I mean, that's the thing. This law is so confusing, but there's different thresholds based on people and whatever, and they forgot to include family thresholds, and it just makes – yeah. And it's gotten to the point now where even some people who are originally for Obamacare are now saying, yeah, not so much. Maybe we don't want this after all. And the funny thing is the Democrats are digging their heels in, as I've said before. They are determined to see this thing get through and push it through and make it happen, regardless of the fact that they've lost support, regardless of the fact that the American people never wanted it, regardless of the fact that it's broken and they know it's broken. They know it's broken. They don't care. The employer mandate got pushed off a year, as everyone knows. We've heard that insurance companies are jacking up rates. They sent out letters informing people that their rates were going to go up if they didn't renew now. And I can't remember which one company did that in Kentucky, but somebody did that, and they got fined $56,000 by the Department of Insurance for doing that. There's good numbers out here that individual market, right, if you're not going through an employer, but an individual market rates are going to double for men and go up 62% for women. And, of course, my rates are set to triple because I have a health savings account with a high-deductible health plan. By choice, I love that plan. It works great for me and my family. And we've had lots of circumstances. My wife gave birth under that plan. I have no problem with it. I like my HDHP and HSA plan. But, unfortunately, they're illegal. Now, the complaints about, oh, well, you can't get insurance, whatever, you know, and I think we've talked about this on the show. They've created the under 30 plan, but I'm not under 30, so I can't get it, which I think sucks. I mean, why is it that if I'm under 30, I can get something, but now that I'm over 30, I can't? What happened to the guys that were all against age discrimination? And they've changed what you can buy with your HSA. That went into effect this year. Can't buy over-the-counter medication, even though it is medicine. Now I got to go to the doctor and go to the doctor to say, hey, hi, I'm here so that I can get my free prescription out of my HSA. Or not free, but I can get my HSA to pay for it, even though I could have just went and bought it. I wasted the doctor's time. I waited the doctor's office's time. I wasted my time. Just a joke. And compliance is a problem with providers. Providers are changing all their regulatory stuff. They're cutting back staff. Hospitals are cutting way back. There's talk about you're not going to see a doctor anymore. There's more and more doctors are retiring. Fewer and fewer doctors are getting into the field. You're going to have a doctor shortage. You're going to see a nurse practitioner or nurses, not a doctor. Nothing against nurse practitioners or nurses, but you guys aren't doctors. That's all I'm saying. And people want to see doctors. And more importantly, the economic recession that we're still in, no matter what anybody says, and we've been over this on the show, has specifically been driven, and I've actually done more research now, and I'm to the point now where I believe that the entire recession that we're still in has been driven almost primarily and solely by Obamacare. Because small businesses have not expanded and will not expand. And the number one reason that they're not expanding is because of uncertainty around Obamacare. I have studies that show it. I have studies that say it, which I didn't have before. I had that gut feeling, but now I know. And so we're still going to get it. It's going to get crammed down onto us. Oh, of course, it's not actually going to cut down on healthcare spending, actually. Starting next year, it's going to go up again. There's tons of stories about how small businesses have actually laid people off, studies that show they've laid people off, stopped hiring, didn't expand, all that good jazz. There's the fight over the unions. Well, the union didn't ask to be exempted, and federal employees didn't ask to be exempted. They just are by default. And that fight's about where, and Rand Paul's now got a bill trying to do this too, trying to push the federal government onto Obamacare. I mean, if it's so good, as the saying goes, what's good for the goose, good for the gander. We found out this week that Kentucky spent $252 million setting up the exchange. $252 million. And, of course, they'll say, well, that's all right. It wasn't our money. It was federal money. Well, look, you ding-dongs, that's our money, too. Where do you think that debt gets piled on from? I found a nice comparison, and we'll have to do this some other time, between Obamacare versus Romneycare and what it's going to mean. And that's going to be interesting. We've heard that, at least for Humana, that the individual rates are going to go up to 80% here in Kentucky. We've got hundreds of employers who have specifically cut their hours to try to dodge some of the more onerous restrictions in Obamacare. Hundreds. The list is at over 300 right now, including some larger ones. We're starting to learn about how invasive this law is going to be, that there's provisions to allow home visits for things as far as, do you smoke? Wait, you want to come to my house because I smoke? What? I don't even smoke in my house. Why do you need to come to my house? They're going to ask questions about your sex life. And that one blew up for a short period of time. That got some news and some recognition. And, of course, the answer was, well, if you don't want people to know, then pay for that service in cash. Wait, what? Wasn't that the whole point? To make this affordable? Doctors, they don't know what's going on. They have no idea how this law is going to affect them. And there's a big write-up I found about how doctors are just thoroughly confused at what this means for them. And that, you know, again, it's going to cut doctors. It's going to be a big mess. It's got to be. There's nothing else it can be. But we'll find out. We'll find out this week. Folks, we're wrapping up another show. I mean, this went really, really fast again tonight. Thanks for tuning in. You know, tune in again next week, 7 p.m., same time. Tune in to the rest of the shows on the network. Until then, have a good week. Folks, take care.